Anti-Semites, from those murdering children on the streets of Israel to those celebrating Hamas on the streets of New York, are driven by jealousy and hatred of a people that doesn't die. They are convinced they will finally succeed in destroying the Jews. They will fail, thanks to the fortitude of the Jewish state and the providential nature of Jewish history. Welcome to Parasha and Politics, Parashat Vezot HaBracha, the Rebbe, Elie Wiesel, and the beginning that follows the ending. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Parsha in Politics, How Torah Changed the World, is generously sponsored by Ivan Kaufman. Rabbi Soloveitchik's podcasts and essays on Deuteronomy are sponsored by Eileen and David Siskovic in honor of their children and grandchildren. This week's episode is generously sponsored by Ellen Belli.
1 year ago, when the series titled Parsha in Politics began, I had assumed that the weekly reading would allow us to reflect on larger political themes without a constant focus on current events. That, of course, has not been the case, for the terrible news that broke on the very day that Jews in Israel began the first parasha of the Torah marked the beginning of a Jewish year that has been unlike any other in recent memory. And yet, it is looking back over the past many months that allows us to better appreciate the meaning of our moment and why we will celebrate again the completion of the Torah this year with profound joy. The first verse of the final parasha is powerfully poignant. Vizot HaBracha, this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. This single sentence simultaneously captures the life of a leader who has sought to bless his people with his every action, as well as the tragedy that is his dream denied. There will be no entry into the Holy Land for Moses, and this is reiterated in some of the very last verses of the Torah. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as well as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Tsoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows the place of his burial to this day. It seems exceedingly sad, and yet strikingly, this is the one parasha in the Torah which is entirely affiliated with joy, for it is the one weekly reading that is not read at the end of the week, but on the day known as the Joy of the Torah, the only Jewish celebration that actually has the word joy in its name. The truth, however, is that the source of our celebration is often misunderstood. The day known as Simchat Torah is often described as one in which we mark our completion of the Torah. But my great-grandfather, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, insisted that we are in fact rejoicing in the fact that after completing the Torah, we are able to begin it again. After all, Simchat Torah is also the day on which we begin Genesis once more. It is worth noting that as this celebration evolved, the Jewish people ceased to read the traditional Haftarah on this day, a continuation of the previous day's prophetic reading, and instead selected the first chapter of Joshua, thereby also following the conclusion of the Pentateuch with the beginning of the prophets. The day, in other words, is all about beginnings. Jews see in this ending and beginning profound symbolic significance. To read of Moses' death and then to begin his Torah again is to realize that Moses truly lives, because he has given us as a people a source of eternal life, and therefore the people that Moses helped bring into being are an eternal testament to his own legacy. We also rejoice in the knowledge that, like the ever-renewing reading of the Torah, the story of the Jewish people has no end. Soon after October 7th, reeling from the news of a war launched by Israel's enemies on Simchat Torah, I attempted to express what the lesson of this holiday might offer us in that terrible moment. I wrote in the Wall Street Journal, quote, "We celebrate on Simchat Torah the completion of the Torah and the opportunity to begin it again, seeing in the continuous cycle a symbol of our people's eternity. The Jew," Tolstoy reflected, "has brought down from heaven the everlasting fire and has illuminated with it the entire world. He," Tolstoy added, "whom neither slaughter nor torture of thousands of years could destroy, he whom neither sword nor inquisition was able to wipe off the face of the earth. He," Tolstoy further wrote, "who has been for so long the guardian of prophecy and who transmitted it to the rest of the world. Such a nation cannot be destroyed. The Jew," Tolstoy concluded, "is as everlasting as is eternity itself." I wrote further in the journal, "Anti-Semites, from those murdering children on the streets of Israel to those celebrating Hamas on the streets of New York, are driven by jealousy and hatred of a people that doesn't die. They are convinced they will finally succeed in destroying the Jews. They will fail," I wrote, "thanks to the fortitude of the Jewish state and the providential nature of Jewish history." End quote. 1 year after I wrote these words, we witnessed millions of Israelis and many Jews around the world that have emerged from these months with a renewed faith and a Jewish identity enhanced, intuiting somehow the miraculous nature of the Jewish people that Simchat Torah embodies. The name traditionally given to this last parasha, drawing on the two words that open it, is, in the end, much more than a name. The phrase is Vizot HaBracha, and this is the blessing. It is a hint to us that the Torah itself embodies the blessing that is the Jewish story, a story of a people whose most sacred text gives us an end without an end immediately followed by a beginning. And so many Jews have expressed over the past year how profoundly blessed they feel to play a role in this story that is unlike any other. Thus, 1 year after a Simchat Torah we will never forget, we can look at the renewed resiliency of the Jewish people and understand that this resilience lies at the heart of the holiday on which we will read Vizot HaBracha. If there is a story that best expresses it, it is to be found in Elie Wiesel's memoir, wherein he describes two meetings with the Lubavitcher Rebbe when he came to America from France. In his first meeting, Wiesel began by speaking of his Hasidic background, one which was different than that of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Quote, "My first visit to his court lasted almost an entire night. I had informed him at the outset that I was a Chassid of Vizhnitz, not Lubavitch, and that I had no intention of switching allegiance. The most important thing is to be a Chassid," he replied. "It matters little whose." So Wiesel writes, and then he tells us that the Rebbe then turned to the subject of faith. Quote, "The Rebbe had read some of my works in French and asked me to explain why I was angry at God." Wiesel tells us that they then spoke for a bit and that Wiesel asked how the Rebbe could believe in God after the Holocaust, after Auschwitz. Wiesel goes on, quote, "The Rebbe replied in a soft voice, 'Whom else could one believe in? Didn't Auschwitz represent defeat of humanity? Apart from God, what was there in a world darkened by Auschwitz?' The Rebbe stared at me, awaiting my response. 'Rebbe,' Wiesel said, 'if what you say is meant as an answer to my question, I reject it. But if it is a question, I accept it.' And Wiesel adds, 'I tried to smile, but failed.'" End quote. This was Wiesel's first meeting with the Rebbe. But then, sometime later, on the day that the Jewish people finishes the Torah and begins it again, Wiesel describes another encounter. He writes, quote, "1 year during Simchat Torah, I visited Lubavitch as was my custom. The Rebbe, seated in his place at the head of a T-shaped table, presided over the celebration with fervor." So Wiesel opens the story, but he also tells us that he remained at the entrance because he was, as he puts it, plagued by a terrible migraine. And then he continues by writing, quote, "Suddenly the Rebbe saw me and beckoned me to approach. I pretended not to notice. The Rebbe motioned to me again. I didn't budge. Then he called me by name. When I still didn't move, powerful arms grabbed me and carried me over the heads of the crowd to the central table, depositing me like a package in front of the Rebbe. I wanted to die then and there, if only I could do so without disturbing the celebration." End quote. It is an amusing episode, but what would follow would be both funny and profound. Quote, "The Rebbe was smiling. 'Welcome,' he said. 'It's nice of a chassid of Vizhnitz to come and greet us in Lubavitch. But is this how they celebrate Simchat Torah and Vizhnitz?' 'Rebbe,' I said faintly, 'we are not in Vizhnitz, but in Lubavitch.' 'Then do as we do in Lubavitch,' he said. 'And what do you do in Lubavitch?' 'In Lubavitch we drink and say L'chaim.'" So Wiesel reports that the Rebbe said to him. And Wiesel goes on a bit after this to tell us that he replied, "In Vizhnitz too." "Very well," Wiesel reports that the Rebbe said. "Then say L'chaim." And Wiesel continues. "He handed me a glass filled to the brim with vodka. 'Rebbe,' I said, 'in Vizhnitz a chassid does not drink alone.' 'Nor in Lubavitch,' the Rebbe replied. He emptied his glass in one gulp. I followed suit." "Is one enough in Vizhnitz?" the Rebbe asked. "In Vizhnitz," I said bravely, "one is but a drop in the sea. In Lubavitch as well." He handed me a second glass and refilled his own. He said L'chaim, I replied L'chaim, and we emptied our glasses. "After all," Wiesel continues, "I had to uphold the honor of Vizhnitz. But as I was unaccustomed to drink, I felt my head begin to spin." And then Wiesel adds a bit after that the Rebbe then said, "In Lubavitch we do not stop midway. We continue. And in Vizhnitz?" And Wiesel tells us that he replied, "In Vizhnitz too, we go all the way." As the drinking contest that Wiesel describes came to a head, the following extraordinary moment occurred. Quote, "The Rebbe handed me a third glass and refilled his own. My hand trembled, his did not. 'You deserve a blessing,' he said, his face beaming with happiness. 'Name it.'" So Wiesel writes, "I wasn't sure what to say. I was in a stupor." And then Wiesel tells us that the Rebbe asked him, "Would you like me to bless you so that you can begin again?" End quote. Wiesel tells us that he immediately understood the meaning of the moment. He writes, quote, "Drunk as I was, I appreciated his wisdom. To begin again could mean many things. Begin again to drink, to pray, to believe, to live. And then it was Simchat Torah, which is also my birthday. 'Yes, Rebbe,' I said, 'give me your blessing.' He blessed me and downed his vodka. I swallowed mine and passed out. I awoke outside, stretched out on the grass, where I had been carried again by the same arms above the heads of the crowd." End quote. I have always thought that this remarkable story was unknown to most, and I told it to my congregation on the Shabbat following the Shloshim, the marking of 30 days after October 7th. When I completed my remarks, someone came over to me and recounted that Elisha Wiesel, Elie Wiesel's son, had told the story the night before at a public Shloshim event. The tale reminds us that when we read of Moses' end, we recognize that his story, and ours, truly does not end at all. And we see in the beginning of Moses' Torah, on the day known as the Joy of the Torah, a sign of our miraculous story. Looking back at my Wall Street Journal article from 1 year ago, I noticed one prediction that applies to this week. Thinking of further celebrations of our forthcoming holiday, I wrote, quote, countless Jews will now mark every year the completion of the Law of Moses and remember the Simchat Torah of 2023. The celebration will be rendered more profound in the knowledge that the story of the Jewish people continues, that its enemies have failed again, that the cycle of the Torah will begin once more. This is indeed the case, and may our celebration this year be rendered profound indeed. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing you a joyous and very meaningful Simchat Torah and a blessed year ahead. Signing off.